The Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for your next Queensland holiday. Whether you're making memories with your favourite travel buddies or embarking on your own adventure of a lifetime, you can't beat days like this in Queensland.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
That there is the voice of one Margot.
Queen, Freddie Mercury, I think that was.
No, I'm pretty sure it was you.
Pretty to do the Fandango.
It's Marto and Margot. This is the Big Breakfast.
What is the Fandango anyway?
You want to know.
That'd be what Millie Boyle and Adam Elliott were doing in the toilets. Fandango.
Like having a big old pash.
Were they just? Why do you need to take your shirt off to have a pash? Just in case there's any dribble spills down, you just need to mop it up.
One thing leads to another, Marto.
Is it just?
He does have a great body, I would assume. Being a football player, maybe she wanted to see what was happening under the shirt, what the rig was doing.
Sus.
I'm not sure.
But they're together now.
I don't want to speculate. But they're officially an item.
Yes.
That's very cute for them.
We haven't had this happen before. Have we had a child between an NRLW player and an NRL player yet?
I don't know. Is it Jessica Sturgis? She dates an NRL player, doesn't she? Who's she with?
The Zach Lomax, perhaps. I'm going out on a limb.
I'm not sure.
See, there should be more of this.
Brothers
see,
and sisters, I know. There's Tams and Tasman. What's her name? Tasman Gray? Who's she the brother or sister of? The big fella that plays for the Roosters.
Yeah, I'm not with you.
No, sorry.
Centre. No, I'll tell you the one. We're all waiting for the super child because Steffi Graf and Andre Agassi, they're the template for super sports children.
Oh.
Alicia Healy. No, is it Healy? Yeah. And Mitch Stark. When they have a child, oh, my God.
Is there an AFL player and a netballer? I think there is. I don't know.
Come on.
I keep coming half information. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
Trying to Google. Is it Tamsin? Tasman? Who's the Bronco?
No, you're all played the expert in the grand
final,
NRLW.
And her brother played in the grand final. They both played in the grand final at the same time.
Jesus.
He played the men's NRL grand final. He plays for the Roosters. Last year, the year before. He plays for the Roosters. She plays for the Broncos.
There's Google. Come to the table with some info and I'll go.
We might get to the podcast while you guys are Googling.
Yeah, it's been nice, Margo. Half truth.
Marto and
Jordan
Margo.
Rapiner.
Here we go.
Is that how you say it?
No, that's rubbish. Jordan Rapiner's whose sister?
Tasman Gray.
Or girlfriend.
No, they're sister and brother.
They are.
Enjoy Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast.
What
here
are
it is
doing?
At Triple M.
Sorry, are you doing that podcast?
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Anyone who was there at the River Stage 2 years ago on the 21st of December will realise that Making Gravy by Paul Kelly, it was incredible that evening. Well, he's coming back. He's returning this festive season with some very special, well, Melbourne, who cares about that, Brisbane outdoor event in December, Making Gravy. Paul Kelly, hello, mate.
G'day, Marto. How are you going? And Margo, how are you?
Paul, Making Gravy tour is coming back. How do you make gravy, Paul?
Well, it's in the song. I pretty much do it like the way I do it in the song, with
salt.
A bit of flour and a bit of wine.
And
a little bit of, you know, not all the foodie, you know, that's some foodie friends that say, why do you put tomato sauce in it? But, you know, I say, you don't have to, but I like it.
Paul, obviously an incredible songwriter, draw inspiration, obviously, through lived experience and many other avenues. Making Gravy, where did that come from?
Well, I was asked to take part in a Christmas charity record and do a song for that, and then I chose a song, but the song I chose was already taken by James Blundell. So the guy organising it said, well, why don't you try your own Christmas song? So that's sort of gave me the spark, but then I was trying to work out, you know, I realised, there's so many Christmas songs, why do we need another Christmas song? And then I thought, how do you write what's the way to get the feeling across about Christmas? So then I thought, well, maybe I'll write it from the point of view of someone who can't be there for Christmas. And then my next thought was, why can't the person be there? Oh, they're in prison. So it was sort of like that was how it started. So once I had that, that was like the key for me to write the song.
But I think the new album's coming out soon, isn't it?
The new album comes out on the 19th of November.
Right.
Okay. And then the show's on December the 18th. It goes on sale next week.
Now, listen, I saw, because they give us this blurb, there's so much bloody information here, but Paul Kelly's Christmas Train, that's the album. Waleed Ali, is he one of the backup singers or something?
No, he recites some verses from a chapter in the Quran, which is about
Jesus
and Mary. Yeah. The Islam honours Jesus as a prophet, and they have a whole chapter devoted to Mary, and it's the same story it's giving birth, and an angel appears to Mary and says, "You're going to have a child, even though you haven't been with a man."
Yeah.
It's the same story, and so I thought that was worth making that link in the record. So I asked Waleed to come, and he recited it, an English translation.
You're always just that little bit deeper than everyone else. That's incredible.
You recently wrote that song for Eddie Betts. I mean, you've written about going to the footy, the Boxing Day test, Don Bradnam.
Yeah.
But the latest one, you addressed racism, which is such a big a part of our, it's a societal issue. Eddie Betts, teaming up with him and collaborating, what was that like?
Oh, it was really good. I mean, I'm a big fan of him as a football player, of course, like a lot of people are. But, I'm also a great admirer of what he's done off the field as well. He's just been honest about his experiences, and he's been a great educator in lots of ways. And I know it's taken a toll on him, and that's sort of what the song's about having to front up all the time and say, this is not right.
Paul Kelly, you've done so much over the years that I saw a historical footnote somewhere the other day about Yothu Yindi and Gurumul. There was a little story about Treaty, the song, which was such a magnificent song. Was that 30 years ago? And did you help write it, or did you just perform it with them?
I helped write it.
It's incredible.
I got together with Dr. Yunipingu, the singer, who's no longer with us now.
Yeah.
But he invited me up to Arnhem Land to work together on the song, then took it to the band and developed it from there. And then the DJs, Filthy Luca DJs, got hold of it and,
and grew it up.
That's the one, yeah.
Paul Kelly, incredible. So, of course, December 18th, so you'll be the closest thing to making gravy on December 21.
The day after the borders open too here in Queensland, of course. We see you down at Brisbane's River Stage. But the new Christmas album coming out, of course. Are there going to be any Jingle Bell Rocks type style, Paul Kelly?
We're going to do a few Christmas songs in the set, to do from the album. There's Christmas Baby Please Come Home, which is a big pop song. Linda sings that. Emma Donovan's going to be with us. She's going to sing a song. So we've got a few Christmas songs in there.
Oh, so you're still singing. You're still singing with Linda and Vicar.
Yeah, they'll be with us.
They'll all be there on December 18. Love your work. So nice to talk.
Thanks, my pleasure. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Mark, and you know how the government's been, full of fear and trying to scare us into getting back. You've got to get vaccinated.
It's too late, Marto.
It's not too late. Did you see this? Because they were having the countdown. You've only got 12 more seconds. You've only got 3 more seconds to get your...
No, you don't. You can get vaccinated whenever you like.
I know.
It's just before the borders open on the 17th of December. You have to be protected, of course.
That's right. And I think the time period was supposed to be over now, but now... Pfizer and Moderna apparently offer you can actually got a few more days, apparently.
The last day for Moderna is now Friday, November 5. Oh. Doses need to be at least 4 weeks apart.
Yes.
Pfizer the following Friday on November 12.
Oh,
doses 3 weeks apart.
Oh,
plus 2 weeks to reach full protection.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, mate.
Okay, so we've got plenty of time because it's not until 17th of December. So if you get it now or until Friday, that's November 12. So you've still got another 4 weeks.
Like at school when they give you an extension on your
hang on, let's just pick
project.
Up those goalposts and move them again.
Hold on, we'll give you a little bit more time. It's okay. And you know what they've been doing? They've been doing what? Theme parks, they've been doing...
Bunnings,
schools, surf clubs. Here's some of the stats.
337 vaccinations at theme parks on the Gold Coast. 1,011 at surf lifesaving clubs. 1,518 at high schools.
Yeah, you think about that, okay. So the story wasn't finished. I just want to put... And you go, oh, good on them. You've done that. But if you went to the caravan show, there was a pop-up vaccine.
Oh, my goodness.
How many do you think people went there to buy a caravan?
Well, what did they say at the other place? 1,000 at the theme parks, 1,000 here, 1,000 there.
No, 337 at the theme park, so that wasn't too many. Surf clubs, 1,011, 1,500 at the high schools.
A lot at the caravan show.
A lot of people.
They all want to go out and travel, Marto, of course.
So true.
And 33 at the caravan show.
33.
They're just travelling in Queensland, those caravanners. I don't need to.
Who are those 33? I think I'm going by caravan. Oh, shit. Can I get a vax? Why not?
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Mate, we were talking about margaritas with Margot just before, and I was telling you that on Saturday we went to Derby Day. We were very lucky to be invited into the Treasury Suite. Treasury Brisbane invited us along to the races for the day. And,
nice one.
And we were in a room of some pretty heavy hitters, I would like to think. Obviously, John and his beautiful wife, Christina Gambaro from the Gambaro Group and the hotel, etc. There was the bigwig from Aristocrat Gaming. They do all of the poker machines
that go into all
the hotels and all the casinos, etc. There was Bernie Hogan from the Queensland Hotels Association. We're having a good chat to him about the pressure that businesses are under in hospitality with the who are they letting in patron-wise, having to vaccinate their staffs, whether they make that mandatory or not. And then I sat down and I had a good chat with Dave Donaghy, who is the CEO of the Brisbane Broncos. He was there with his beautiful wife, Sharon.
Did you say, go the Dolphins to him a few times? Go the Dolphins.
I did say I might have to associate myself in the red moving forward than the maroon. He said, no, stick with us, Margo. It's going to be better, I promise. Ooh. I said, okay, I'll stick it out, see how we go.
Go the Dolphins.
But they had a few special guests come in, Mardo. They gave us some tips. There was some jockeys and some stewards.
Oh, the little fellas came in,
the little fellas come in. Ronnie Stewart came in. I'm not sure if you're familiar.
Who the hell's Ronnie Stewart? Anyway,
he's
sure
a jockey. But there was another little fella amongst the ranks, and that is newly appointed Brisbane.
You've dropped some few names here so far.
Brisbane Bronco. Yeah. Adam Reynolds, Marto, the former South Sydney Rabbitoh.
He's
not a
now.
Jockey. No. Well, he is of sorts. He's coming to ride the Broncos train.
Yeah, it's true.
Because he has obviously signed a deal here for the next couple of years, and so him and his family, he's got four kids, settling down on the north side of Brisbane. And I just wanted to give him a bit of a wrap. I had totally stereotyped and pitted him as a bit of an NRL pest. You know, he's fully tatted. I thought he was going to be dumb and stupid. He's not going to bring much. I think we bagged him because he's old. And we're like, oh, what do we need an old person for? Mm. He is a fierce competitor. He wants to win. And he's a really nice guy, really good guy. So I'm going to find it hard to bag him now because I've met him and he's really lovely.
I'll give it a go.
He's really lovely.
Did you ask him why he played so poorly in the grand final?
No, I didn't bring that up. I just said, a bit of a shame about that result, and he said, yeah, it's devastating. You know, he wanted to go out on a high, obviously, off leaving South, playing under Wayne.
You
Wayne now going to Redcliffe.
You got any more to need to drop?
No more names. Yeah, I need
so
to drop.
Far.
It wasn't Joe Biden or anything like that.
No,
like
some no world Joe leader. Biden.
Like, you're hardly in Glasgow running into a world leader. Like, the Broncos recruit, is that it?
That's
lame.
There it is. Brushes with lame. Went all right last time. Now, don't bring up what I told you the
other
day. I
wanted to tell you how lovely he was. I was pleasant, and I actually said to him, I'm pleasantly surprised you actually, you know, surprised
story.
Me.
Yeah. Now, if anyone's unaware, if you've only just started listening, for months and months and months, we ran that brushes with
big names in your workplace.
No, not brushes with the lame. Big
names. They turned out not being so big named.
Yeah.
So just a lot of local NRL players.
We've downgraded it to brushes with lame because at the moment I'm helping a mate out with some work at his house and he leaves me. He goes to work and leaves me there with the dog. And I found out Laura Geitz lives over the road, so I've been throwing the ball to Ted over near her house looking to entice her out.
Well, eventually when you meet her.
I think that's lame. Thank you.
No, eventually when you meet her, can you make sure you call her Laura, not Laura?
Oh, whatever.
Her name is Laura Geitz, and she's an incredible former Australian Queensland netball captain, Diamonds.
No. 133353, have you had brushes with lame? What about Jonesy from Brackenridge? He ran into his one. I ran into Lion skipper Dane Zorko in the special buys section of Aldi. He was eyeing off some ski gear.
Talko with Zorko, our mate.
Lovely.
Yeah, John from Turinga, good morning.
Good morning, crew. How are we?
Yeah, hey, mate. Who did you see? Did you have a brush with lame?
I used to babysit John Newcomb's kids.
Wow, that's unique. Now, you obviously lived in Sydney somewhere.
I don't know who John Newcomb is.
Stop the show.
Nuke.
John, I would say that is lame because I've never heard of him. Who is John Newcomb?
In the mid-70s, he was our greatest tennis player. He won Wimbledon, he won the US Open, the Australian Open.
It's not Nick Kyrgios, it's not Bernard Tomic. I've never heard of him.
You know the saying, have you ever heard the beauty nuke, the saying, beauty nuke?
beauty, Nuke?
No, never.
Okay. Oh. Continue, John. I'll just talk to you on my own.
Yeah, no, I used to coach with Nuke and Roach at their tennis camps back in the early 80s.
And you were young and had to look after the kids at night time while they drank.
Pretty much. And then I ended up staying at Nuke's next door neighbours, and Nuke wanted to go drinking again, so I had to watch the kids.
That's wonderful. Now, listen, I got a mate of mine. His wife was the cleaner for Kamal. Lame. What? How dare you?
No, that is.
Do you remember when we had the guy who rang up? It was supposed to be big names in your workplace, and he rang up and said that he removed a possum from Denise Drysdale's roof. We celebrated at the time, but now we can look back and go, no.
It was live. The Big Breakfast. Weekdays from 5:30 on Triple M. Don't we love this guest? And we don't get to say it very often, live from the United States. Amos Gill, hello, mate.
Hello, all. I've had a sick week, I'll be honest with you. I did a gig with Jay Leno two nights ago, which is very cool. The host of The Tonight Show for over 30 years. Had a good bit of banter with him in the green room. He only knows one other Australian, and it was Rove McManus. So I had to...
You had to
change his perceptions on comedy.
Jesus, that's grim, isn't it? We need to lift our game.
Did he say to you, not all Australians shake their head a lot trying to get a laugh?
Yeah, I thought I was a little understated in my delivery style. He was a really great guy, Jay Leno, and he had a joke which I want to tell. This is Jay Leno's joke, which I thought was good for a guy who's 70. Because of the trans thing that's going on at the moment, Dave Chappelle's under siege. He opened on a trans joke. He goes, Caitlyn Jenner's got an autobiography out. Apparently it's a real he said, she said.
Let's go.
I mean, because I've never seen celebrities when I'm here, but so I go to Jim Jeffrey's son's baseball game, the Little League. He's 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Guess who's pitching against Jim's kid? Magic Johnson's grandson. And Magic Johnson is sitting next to me and Jim.
Stop it.
And Magic, he's a...
Magic's about 7 foot. How big was the kid?
Huge. Like, he looked 13 years old, and there's Jim Jeffries' son on the home plate.
And Wee.
He strikes out, and he's a good little athlete, Jim's son, but he struck out and he comes over and he was a bit upset. And Jim goes, it's not your fault, mate. Have a look at his jeans and have a look at the jeans you've got. I'm going to go back to the well.
Yes.
To some of my favourite stuff. The Queen. I love the royals. Have you seen the poor old Queen at 95 has decided to give up alcohol?
I saw that.
Did she ever really drink? I didn't pick her to be a big drinker.
Oh, yeah. Four cocktails a day. She was technically a binge drinker.
Was she?
She smashed the gin. Oh,
she would, if she, now this is from a mate of mine who is a friend of Harry's, okay, she'd always, nothing but, if you didn't give her a double, you got the Queen deaths there and trouble. She always wanted them as strong as possible.
Is that what she carried in her little purse always, just a little flask of gin?
Mm. They've actually produced their own gin out of Buckingham Palace as well, which is sold out, but she's given it up. And I've got to say, if the Queen said she'll cut back, Andrew is going to keep doing what he does best. So, look, they're slowly but surely tidying their lives up, and I think that's good.
I wondered whether MI5 didn't get hold of her walking stick, Amos, and put a few things in there.
Mm. Oh, you think MI5 is trying to blow her up?
No, it would say she can defend herself, like it would there be a trigger.
Is this like the old Maxwell Smart, you know, the shoe in the telephone box?
If you had a walking stick, it's not just a walking stick. You want to use it to
hit people.
It wouldn't be the first time a member of MI5 has killed a member of the royal family.
Princess Diana.
So let's finish on Novak Djokovic. Making news over here in America as well, that he's not going to be able to play at the Australian Open unless he's vaccinated, and he will not reveal whether or not he is in fact vaccinated.
It's none of anyone's business. Isn't that what he's saying?
And that's why I think a happy compromise should be met here, because he's the world number one. He's as good as it gets. I don't think he should have to say whether he's vaccinated or not.
What are you going to do?
He's got to play in full PPE. I'm talking the gloves. I'm talking the face mask, the face shield. That keeps everybody happy, and that way he also can't make a deal of himself by arguing with the umpire the whole time because he's got a bloody mask on.
What'd you say? Oh, that's great.
And in other news, Bernard Tomic will also miss the Australian Open after he returned a positive test result for being a complete nut of f***wit. So it's not going to be the best tournament unless they change some of those rules.
Amos Gill, we love your work, mate.
Thanks, guys. Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Margo, one of the best ideas our government's had is to bring in these covert cameras to pick up people using their mobile phones. I hate it. Remember, we've spoken to Mark Scaife. He said it's the most dangerous thing you can do on the road. More dangerous than drink driving is to touch your phone and use it for text messages and for social media.
Unfortunately, Marto, already we've lost over 170 people on our roads this year in Queensland alone, and the statistic is not going to get any better, unfortunately.
Well, now, I can't remember. How long's the trial been going? Because they've said, righto, we're going to start sending messages out to people, and they reckon it went to this many.
More than 18,000 motorists have been caught out in the past 3 months. All have been issued warnings. But from tomorrow, there will be no more second chances.
Tomorrow's today.
Tomorrow is today. Today is the day. And we are joined by Mark Bailey, the Minister for Transport and Main Roads of Queensland. Today is D-Day, Mark Bailey. No more issued warnings. It's fines and it's points lost.
That's right, Margot. Yeah, look, we've had a three-month warning period. We wanted to make sure everybody knew these cameras were coming in, that there was fair warning, and we found 18,000, as you mentioned, doing the wrong thing, looking somewhere other than the road. And we know from the research that's equivalent to driving drunk at 0.1 to 0.07 of blood alcohol in your system. So it really is the drink driving of this era. Mark Scaife is absolutely 100% correct.
Hey, Mark, can you tell us what are the penalties, and then what is allowable fiddling? If it's in a cradle, can you do a certain number of things to your phone?
Look, you can't have it in your hand, and you can't have it touching your body. So, you know,
so not on your lap.
Not on your lap.
If it's on your lap, the cameras will pick that up, and that's an offence because it shows an intent to use the phone while you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a cradle, put it away in the console or in the glove box. Can't be tempted. You know, the world's not going to stop if you don't look at your phone for 10 minutes. If you've got a cradle, you can use a cradle, but only for very simple things. So if someone rings you, if your daughter rings you or something like that, you can push the green button, no problem.
Oh, okay.
And then you can hang up.
Can you skip the next song?
Well, that's a separate thing. That's in terms of your car, but you can only use it for simple things. So you can't be using it for texting. You can't be fiddling around with your Spotify, whatever else. That's distraction. And I think that's common sense, I think.
Do you think you could bring in the people can't change the radio station?
Sorry, I don't quite understand that one, Marto.
Just leave it on Triple M always.
Yeah, just leave
Mark
it on Triple M.
Oh, I see where you're going there.
When Margo and I annoy them.
What about when they need to text the burner phone, Mark Bailey, or ring 133353?
I think the advice when I'm on Triple M, Marto, is put it on Triple M, leave it there forever.
Leave it there forever.
Love your work, son. A punishment, just so everyone's really, really clear.
Yeah, look, basically, if you get caught now, and look, these cameras are anywhere, anytime, across Queensland, and they'll move regularly. So this is like random breath testing, $1,033 fine if you get caught driving distracted. And if you haven't got a seatbelt or if you've not got it on correctly, that's $413 fine as well, because incredibly, 3,000 people out there who didn't have their seatbelt on, which is going to save your life if you have a crash.
I mean, who doesn't wear a seatbelt? When I don't wear my seatbelt, my car bings at me, like just as I'm leaving the driveway, you
Dobbing
know, and then
cars.
you put your seatbelt on kind of thing. But you should be obviously putting your seatbelt on first before starting the ignition and driving out the driveway. But is that just not common sense? That's something that it's learned behaviour, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is a bit of a learned one. Like, you know, when I was a kid, the car did not move until all the seatbelts were on and
same
checked,
in my house.
You know. But we have much higher non-compliance in regional rural areas.
Okay. So
there's a bit more of a cultural thing out there. But, of course, if you run off the road at 80K on a country road, the thing that's going to save your life is your seatbelt, and you know, it's not too many people out there doing the wrong thing.
Is it true that your first responders have found bodies outside of vehicles? They've been flung after an accident outside the vehicles, but their seatbelt's been attached underneath their bum.
Look, I can't specifically say, you know.
So people are clicking it in, but sitting on top of it.
What's the use of that?
I can tell you. What I can tell you too, Marto and Margo, is I get a rundown of fatalities the next day, and that it is all too common that the seatbelt wasn't being worn. It's usually a few other things as well. They might be speeding, they might be drunk driving, they might be fatigue. But then when they go off, it's the lack of the seatbelt that kills the person. So, you know, it should be worn every single time, and make sure everyone in your car is wearing one as well.
So, Mark, you mentioned the $1,033 for being on your phone, the $413 distracted while driving. What are those distractions? Because I've heard things like eating, doing your makeup, smoking, drinking coffee, or, you know, whatever it might be. What does that look like? Can you clarify that for us?
Look, I think common sense applies in this regard. So obviously, you shouldn't be doing your makeup and anything that's distracting to your driving. Mm. You know, you've got to have your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, ready for anything. There is a certain tolerance, you know, turn the radio on, listen to Triple M, you know, to answer that call from your daughter or your son or something like that. That's fine if it's in a cradle, but your eyes need to be on the road. So, you know, anything that's complex or distracting from that is illegal, and you shouldn't be doing it. And, you know, really, you need to have a good hard look at yourself if that's what you're doing.
How many cameras have you got?
Well, we're not revealing how many we've got. But,
where are they? Are,
and we're not revealing where they are either.
What do they look like?
They're hard to spot. They'll be moving regularly. So we're targeting areas where there's been bad crash records. But we are also putting them on all kinds of roads. So, you know, if people think, oh, yeah, well, I'll just be on the motorway, they're not. They're going to be on all kinds of roads all over the state and moving regularly. So you can get caught twice pretty easily if you, you know, if you're driving different roads and doing the wrong thing regularly. You will get caught, no doubt about it, 100% certain you will get caught, and it's they're switched on today. So what I just say to people is, if you've got those bad habits, you've been one of those people, that's life. Deal with it from today, because you will get caught, no doubt about it whatsoever.
It's not just about revenue raising, Mark Bailey. It is about saving lives, and that four demerit point, it will surely hurt some more than others. Minister for Transport and Main Roads of Queensland, thank you for your time this morning.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
You know, we're a heap of Triple M listeners went on the weekend to the caravan show at the exhibition ground.
Did you bump into some?
Oh, I saw plenty there yesterday. But 4 days, God, people look. I went there yesterday afternoon.
Yep.
They'd been there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all the people manning the caravans. And
it's a big, big weekend
I'd
for
never
them.
Been before. It was
R&A showgrounds, Marto.
It was hectic. It was everywhere, Margo. Everywhere you turned, there was the Austrac boys who advertised on Triple M, Steve and the boys, yellow, they were packing up. Like, I left there about just after 4 yesterday, arvo. Everyone had to pack up. They'd been there all day, every day. You know how hot Friday and Saturday were.
Yeah.
And they were buggered. And they said there wasn't even as many people as normal because everyone was, I told you that before, all caravanning people were
already caravanning away.
And not needing all their accessories. I reckon my mate and I, we walked into, because I'm not really, I sort of want one of the pop-up ones you just put on the back of your ute. You know,
so you want to put it on the top of your roof, don't you?
I just want to put it on the ute and just sleep in there. I'm happy in a swag. But anyway, my mate was sort of curious. So I said, I'll come with you. I reckon where we went, took the 3 steps. Well, you're a caravaner, so you know very well. 1, 2, 3, and you're
up
in the van.
The thing, yep.
I reckon I did that up to 120 times yesterday. I looked into 100. And what's in a caravan? A little bed, a little kitchen, a little table, a little shower.
It's a mini house on wheels.
That's all it is. But why did I have to? My mate
did you
said,
sit on the toilet like no. I told you?
Yes, we did.
In a couple you stand of, under the shower.
But my mate went into every one of them and I wouldn't. I'd just poke my head in. He'd go, no, come on in.
Well, it's about configuration, isn't it, too?
No, it's not about configuration.
It's about layout. It's about finishes. It's about textures, colours.
Weight distribution, it's about
storage.
He wanted to do it. My mate wanted to do the tech talk with the expert on weight distribution and towing idea. I went, no, listen, we both know how to tow things. We are not going to sit there and talk with all those other boring. Anyway, so.
My sister went along yesterday afternoon. She said it was a great day out.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a lot of people.
I didn't say it was a bad day out.
No, yeah.
I went into more caravans than I'd anticipated I was going to go into.
Did you have a favourite? Did you find one you liked? Did you take a
photo? No, they were bloody same to me. Don't ever talk about caravan. I took a couple of photos. All right, on the way we walked out because I saw some people. Oh, anyway. On the way, all I bought was a bait cast net. You know, to catch live bait.
Yeah.
at a caravan show.
Did you watch any cooking demonstrations or anything?
No, I didn't watch any cooking demonstrations. Hold on. I got an orange. This amazing thing that you screw into oranges and limes and you tap it in. And it pours just out the juice.
Oh, my God.
Got one of them.
Caravan show.
That's incredible.
At the caravan show and bought a pillow. It was incredible.
What sort of pillow?
Special pillows for caravan.
You don't have a caravan.
No, I know, but I used it last night. I sat a bloody good night's
best
sleep.
Best sleep ever.
How good's the caravan show?
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Well, it's all over and done, Marto. Halloween was last night. Usually an American tradition that we've seemed to have adopted here in Australia. And you think we were just discussing perhaps maybe 20 years ago-ish?
Right. I rode my pushy through the valley at 3:30 this morning and it was completely debaucherous. There would have been between 300 and 400 people on the streets. Blokes with angel wings, girls just in a pair of swimming togs and some black makeup on there. There were nutcases everywhere, and I figured, because I'm thinking about my kids, we did a little bit of Halloweening in the early 2000s when they were like at four, five, and continued on. This is, those kids I saw in the valley just then, partying, like going nutso in trolleys. You know, across the street at 3:30, not one cop. Can I just mention that? Not one cop anywhere. And there was 300 or 400 drunk people everywhere in the valley. They're the Halloween generation. That's the start. If you're in your mid-20s, that's when Halloween gotcha.
Well, you said debauchery on the streets. Forget the valley at 3:30 a.m. It was all happening on the streets of Cornubia at 6 p.m. last night.
We're in Cornubia tonight, and we are trick-or-treating. There's plenty of young and young at heart that are out and about tonight.
That's right. The old suburb of Cornubia got a run on Channel 9 News last night.
I saw this. There were people everywhere. I actually called Kath.
Hundreds and hundreds of them.
Can you imagine Kath, sad Kath, she was out on that front veranda.
Oh.
Not one kid came to her house.
Not one.
Well, we lived near Ascot and Hamilton. We were in the poor area. They must have gone to the rich streets.
Oh, no limes for the kids.
Where all the good lollies
are. The scumbags down there. I brought in so many lollies this morning. It was really sad. And then I said, hey, have a look what's going on at Margo's suburb. There are people everywhere.
Well, our local estate was open to the public, Marto. A couple of friends that live in there said that she had over 400 individually wrapped lollies that went in 20 minutes. They had food truck vans, there was pizzas and ice cream, Mr. Whippy van was
there. So you guys have made it a festival down your way.
They had made it a real thing, and the houses were phenomenal, like the way that they had dressed them up, the mazes, the little haunted houses, and in full costume, adults having a lot of fun and putting it on for the kids, of course, because it is all about them. Yeah. We trick-or-treated up and down our streets and headed into the estate. We just missed Channel 9, though. Everybody told us. They said, Channel 9 was just here. You just missed it. I said,
could have been on telly.
Terrible. Goodness. What you're a right? shame. Oh. Bugger.
Because do you think it's a good idea, though? Do you explain to your children, this is a special thing. I don't want you taking lollies from strange
normally
people.
Normally we don't advise them to take candy from strangers, as they call it, candy. But we obviously walked around with them. There were plenty of groups of kids whose parents just propped up at the end of the estate.
Having a beer.
And their kids walked around.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, and it was a safe space, of course. But it was lots of fun, and the kids had a great time. There was lots of questions because there was lots of scary costumes. There was plenty of tired mums appearing as themselves also, which was a little scary.
What, was there anything outstanding, like just one thing you just went, that is man of the match status?
There was a lot of clowns, so a lot of it got a bit of a run.
Holding
the red balloon.
That
but
is freaky.
The costume... it looked like people had spent, a lot of time and money on their costumes this year. It wasn't just a bit of white face paint and some black eyes. They'd actually gone to some really decent effort.
But it was Sunday night. That's the problem. Sunday night before a school morning and you're putting makeup on your kid, your face. It's a black paint.
Late yesterday afternoon because we had a birthday party in the morning, so we went one extreme to the other. And by the time I'd done everybody's faces, I was like, I can't even be bothered doing my own. So I was like, I put on a dress that looked like a Hessian sack, and I thought I can go as a sack of potatoes. So I just put a bit of dirt on my face using my eyebrow mascara.
You went as a sack of potatoes. How does that scare people? Just how heavy it is?
Oh, Marta, you should have seen it. You've seen me wear no bra in here in the morning.
Oh, Jesus.
Imagine me in the estate.
They're not potatoes. They're watermelons.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Bet on the Melbourne Cup with Bluebet. Visit bluebet.com.au or download from the App Store.
Margo, we often have a laugh on how the NRL players keep the NRL in the news in the off-season by performing a trial. atrocities of varying degrees and stuff.
Shameful.
I tell you, the thing that has changed over the last few years is the NRL has got that no fault stand down. Like if you're accused of violence or intimidation against a female, you get stood down until you get proven to be innocent. So AFL doesn't have those sort of rules, and there's been trouble on the weekend. If you're not a party to this, one of the best players in the AFL is a guy called Jordan Dugui. Goey plays for Collingwood. He's really fast, he's really talented, he's really good at playing AFL. If he wasn't, he would have been sacked immediately, but they've hung on to him. They've only just after precious afternoon, they've gone, righto, mate, you need to... We'll need to stand you down from the AFL. You need to have a rest and we'll have a talk about what you're doing.
What has he done?
When we finally find you, he's been in New York. He's done sort of a Matt Lodge, gone overseas thinking no one will know what's going on. And they've inappropriately touched a woman on a dance floor in New York, he and his mate who is a tattooist, and then they've punched up a guy... assaulted a guy, allegedly, who came to her assistance. So they're in trouble within the US in their legal system.
So they should be.
Seems to be quite serious. My problem is, like, let's let that play itself out. My problem is the AFL doesn't have a system like the NRL and they need to...
What do they stand for?
What do they stand for? What do people like NAB, NAB or Coles or Toyota, what do they stand for? Are they going to sit by and watch the AFL go, oh, listen, he's a good player... Like when James Roberts got hauled out of that nightclub down the Gold Coast, he was fast, so therefore they just let that all go by. Now the AFL does that; they allow things to get away, players to get away with things simply because they're good players. The NRL, and which is unbelievable, and you think about a few years ago, they actually now say, I don't care how good you are. If you've indecently dealt with a female, you're gone. You're gone until you can definitely prove it.
Has this happened before, Marto?
Yes, it has. He's had question marks held over him a couple of times and they've been dismissed which is what happens in the legal system, and maybe that's okay. But the AFL, if they want to keep girls, and girls love AFL.
Well, the
love
AFLW playing it. My daughter plays it.
Exactly. If they want to keep those girls interested and keep them involved in the game, AFL is going to have a big look at the way it deals with the attitude of players towards women. The end. Sorry, I know it wasn't funny, but I wanted to have a go. No. I want to just mention this. It's horrible what's going on.
Well said, Marto. The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. I wouldn't be too concerned if you missed last night's cricket action. Catch up with KO Mini's ICC T20 Cricket World Cup condensed match highlights. You can start your free trial today of KO.
Wish I missed Saturday night's cricket highlights when hammered. Oh, we got hammered by England.
Of course.
Just talking about sport over there, Margo. They're a bit more lax over in England and UK with their crowd invasions and stuff like that. You know how strict we are. You run onto Suncorp Stadium. Is it $5,000?
Oh, streakers?
Yeah. Oh, no, just if any pitch invader. If you jump on, doesn't matter whether you got gear on or not, $5,000,
yeah,
banned.
I think it's a fair whack.
It's a bloody fair whack. Overseas, I once saw a few years ago a game in Ireland and the girl jumped the fence and she was nude and had a fair old bush on her and and the police escorted her over and gave them a hat. Gave her a hat for the map of Tassie. Sorry. And gave her a jacket for a top and said, off you go.
Don't do it again.
That's what you get.
Slap on the wrist.
All right. And that's why people like Jarvo get encouraged to do what they do.
Who's Jarvo?
Jarvo is at it again. Now, Jarvo is one of those serial pests who jumps the fence over in the UK.
Serial fence jumper.
All right.
Does he do it naked with his bush out too?
No. No, he does it even better.
Oh, goodness.
I haven't seen Jarvo in the nude and I hope I never do. Because he's a bloke, he's slightly overweight.
He's about
6'1" or so. He's a fair size lad. But what happened in August, England were playing Australia. I think it was the third test at Lord's, the home of cricket in England, okay? Mm. And Jarvo had gotten hold of the full Indian outfit, like their shirt with their sponsors on it, the whites. He was dressed completely.
Just picked it up on eBay, perhaps.
I guess so. Like any Indian would love to dress up, but he's a pommy bloke who loves drinking beer and got the Indian gear. After lunch, I think England were 3 for 216 on day 3 or something. Jarvo, as they walked back onto the field to field, they were the fielding team, the Indians. Jarvo's just fallen into, and I thought at the time, this bloke's a genius. He's just fallen in.
Into slip? Wicketkeeper?
No, he was in the out. He stayed around in the covers.
The outfield.
And while they were getting ready for the first ball to be bowled after lunch, Jarvo just put his hands up and he tried to move fieldsman around. Said, listen, can you go down to backward square legs? He was pointing.
Well played, sir.
Virat Kohli, the world's greatest cricketer, he's the captain of England. He said, what's going on here? They fell apart laughing. They saw the funny side. Jarvo was escorted off. You know, he would have been hammered. Yeah, yeah. He'd be unconscious. He'd be taken away by the cops. They escorted him back up the run and toddled him out of the stadium. Saturday in Cardiff, in Wales.
Oh, no, he's back.
He's got a different trick up his sleeve this time. The All Blacks are playing Wales, okay, and they're ready. You know, the national anthem, so teams run onto the field, line up in their straight lines for the national anthems.
No, he didn't.
Jarvo, well, I've got the video here. Jarvo, thank you. God of Nations. There you go, the great New Zealand national anthem. It's a wonderful national anthem. Jarvo's standing there. He ran on, he came out and he sent a video.
Not wearing the Indian cricket team's outfit.
He's wearing the full all-black gear with Jarvo 69, he calls himself. He had number 69 on, full gear. He had an elbow guard. He had head tape and he ran on. He jogged on and I've seen the footage. He went straight past two security guys who didn't even bat an eyelid because he had all-black gear.
Stood there and sung the anthem.
They might have just thought, oh, this reserve's coming on a bit late. Gee, you better let him through. Still there, the national anthem. Then finally someone said, who's the fat guy on the end? Who's the fat All Black guy?
He's not a big prop, is he?
I just wish Jarvo, whoever you are. And then the New Zealand halfback after the game has said, does anyone know where Jarvo is? I'd like a beer with him. So he's invited him for a beer, but then they realised they're in a bubble. He went, sorry, can't do it. So keep an eye on Big Jarvo.
Where is he from? Who is he?
He must be just some English bother boy who loves drinking beer. And
that's hilarious.
I would have loved to have seen him start to do the haka. If he made it through to that, it would have been a great look. That's funny.
Yeah. You're a friend of ours, Jarvo. This is The Big Breakfast, 104.5 Triple M.
The Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for your next Queensland holiday. Whether you're making memories with your favourite travel buddies or embarking on your own adventure of a lifetime, you can't beat days like this in Queensland.